You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Something. For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it. Or hear it. Or feel it.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to. But it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's one.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? He can be one of those things!
Alright, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave, and online I've got Scott.
Hello, everybody.
What we are doing on this episode is recapping a movie that I was told was a must-see from my co-host, because when I had dropped the bomb of I had not seen it in all my 47 years of life, there was the proverbial gasp and, you know, oh my God, I can't believe you haven't seen this. The movie's called The Thing, and I made myself a silent promise, and I said, you know what, in October of this year, 2018, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to watch it. And I think it ended up all the way to maybe the 26th or so, and I still hadn't committed to watching it. So there was a opportunity that I had where I was like, I'm just going to do this and, you know, be damned the cost that was going to be for on demand, and I was just going to commit. And so what we're doing is Scott and I are together because I know Scott's been really biting at the bit to know how I feel about the movie ever since I told him I had indeed watched the movie. But what I want to start with is, now this is something that's been very kind of important of a movie for you. I was curious why.
Oh, no, it's just something that I really liked. I always thought it was a fun movie, you know, back from way back. And they even had a PlayStation 2 came out with a game that was based on the earlier version of it, you know, or that version of it. Now, let's clarify that this is the 1982 John Carpenter version.
Yeah.
Because there was one done back in the 50s or 60s that was the original thing, The Thing. And then they did another version of it in 2011, which I never saw either one of those. So we're definitely talking about the one that is in our wheelhouse, the 80s.
Right.
As one of my favorites of that era, especially an alien movie. I thought it was a great alien movie. Because that's what it really is. You know, a lot of people put it in the horror category, but I always thought it was kind of an E.T. gone bad before E.T. came around. Anyway.
And it always, and whenever you do like an 80s horror movie lookup, like on Google, this always comes up. So it's always classified as that.
Yeah. And it just always was one of my favorites. I don't know why. I mean, I think it was just I like alien invasion type movies, and this one is set up a little bit different as far as invasion goes. There's not a large number of aliens, but it had the potential to be very widespread.
Right.
Like a virus.
Yeah, definitely. And they kind of left it open-ended there at the end, where you were like,
"Yeah,
is it done, or what happened at the end?" And I think that's kind of what really makes this kind of a unique movie, where you really don't have 100% closure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I did say the thing in my build-up, didn't I? I thought it.
You did say, yeah. You did say the thing. You just didn't say which version.
Year. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, let me set the stage. Whenever I am watching a movie like this, that's adult in nature. I mean, this is definitely not something for young eyes.
It's a little scary for that.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where. I knew that I wasn't really going to have a lot of takers from any of my kids if, once I said, hey, I'm going to be watching this 80s, sci-fi alien horror movie. Mm-hmm. But even though, I made the announcement and said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be watching it downstairs here in the living room. If anybody's interested, then, let's make it an evening. And as I had anticipated, the room cleared. So it was just me on the couch,
mm-hmm.
and what happens is normally when I'm doing something like that, it's usually a bit later in the day. So setting the stage, I'm on the couch, I'm all snuggled up as you are with a blanket, and I believe I may have had some bourbon going on.
Okay.
And then I kick off and pay the, $3.99 fee to kick off the thing. And so the movie starts, and, just Kurt Russell is just badass. I think, him as MacReady was great.
Yeah, he played the role perfectly. I thought it was well done.
Right. And the cast, awesome. I mean, Wilford Brimley was in there. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the doctor's name.
Not Donald Moffat. Gary? No, that wasn't the doctor. I'm trying to remember which the other doctor, what the doctor was. I know you had Palmer was not the doctor. T.K. Carter was Knowles. Keith David was Childs.
Yeah.
Richard Dysart, maybe Dr. Copper.
I'm trying
Richard
to get
Dysart. I can't remember. Yeah, it's Richard Dysart. Dysart. I don't know how to say his last name. Sorry, Richard.
the cast was just phenomenal. And what I really loved is what doesn't get billed as a character, but what works for a movie like this is the isolation factor. They're in Antarctica. Mm-hmm. They're alone. They're away from everybody else. And something horrible is happening. And they have to deal with it with their own devices. And it's not like they can just... call the cops and, get help, an extra ammunition, guns, or whatever they need.
Mm-hmm.
So that formula works really well for a movie like this. And I think the isolation of Antarctica and their science cabin, whatever it is, works as kind of another character for the movie.
Mm. Well, I like the setup too. Like, they show this, the very opening scene is this alien spacecraft crashing
right
into Antarctica, and it's supposedly 1,000 years ago or whatever, however long it's been in the ice,
right,
which makes it interesting too, because it's old, it's been down there for a long time, and they stumble across it while doing some excavation and stuff, and that's how the whole thing starts.
Right. So first off, I love the premise of it. I love what's going on with the interaction with the characters, and you really feel the fact that they've been kind of dealing with each other on a day-to-day basis, and they've gotten used to each other's quirks.
Yes. And the stresses.
And the stresses and the nuances with each of those particular people. And I can relate to that in so many ways, having been in the Navy, and when you're on a ship for so many days and you can't really get away from the people you work with. So I can definitely relate to that kind of story element, and where it's like, yeah, you understand that this person is just going to, that one thing that they do is just going to bug the hell out of you. So I get it. I get that part of the setting, and I love it. But now that all that's said and done, that's the stuff that I like. Here's my take and review as to my feelings for this movie. I don't think that I've articulated it on any podcast or the blog, or I think I may have put together a blog post where I tried to articulate it. But I think that there's a inherent issue when you have somebody that has seen this, something that's iconic, after its time has come and gone. And the unfortunate part about this is that I can realize that that's what's happened here. Because what had happened is, as you predicted, it was going to be a buildup of, this is a must-see. And then once you get the payoff of actually seeing it, maybe it doesn't live up to the hype.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's a bad movie. What I'm saying is that I think had I seen it when it was first released, it would have been iconic, because I realize it's probably one of the earliest versions of a horror movie in an isolation setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it set the stage for movies like that followed, like The Abyss.
Oh yeah.
That's a good
reference right there. That's a great movie too. I love that one.
Yeah, and when I saw that, it was great. But the unfortunate situation here is, now that I've seen The Thing, I'm seeing it in line with after having seen movies like The Abyss or Alien or wherever. You're stuck in space or stuck in some situation where you can't go anywhere to get help, and you have to deal with some bad mama jama. And I think because it wasn't groundbreaking when I saw it, because it's been after I've seen all those others, it's not that iconic for me.
Yeah.
So okay. I think had I seen it earlier, then that's... So I'm trying to give it props without actually saying that I love the movie. I mean, it's a great movie, but it's not a must-watch-again movie for me, because I've seen this formula over and over again.
Yeah.
And so it's fun. And I gotta tell you, I love the scene where Kurt Russell is sitting there with a blowtorch and he's like heating up the the blood little thing.
That's great, man.
Just holding the blowtorch at the ready to get somebody to blow them to bits if the blood interacts, as an alien.
Yeah.
And just going line by line, they're sitting there tied up and they're just watching him do it. And it's just the drama was awesome. It was just well played out.
It was a very tense buildup. Like they really were able to get you on the edge of your seat, going, okay, who is it? Like, you don't know who's been infected,
right?
And you're just waiting for whatever to happen. You don't know what's going to happen, and that's when he hits the blood that is, I believe it was David Clennon Palmer.
Yeah,
and the blood is still kind of part of him as the alien, and he starts shaking in his seat, and he realizes, okay, I have to, my cover is blown, and the alien or whatever it is. I mean,
right.
It's such a strange alien too. Like, it takes on the form of its host.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really quirky. And the other thing that I didn't really mention in that buildup was the fact that what really works for the formula here is when people start acting differently than what they had acted before. And you know that they're acting differently because you've been with them for so long.
Right.
And that's kind of how the story works, because you see that there's something off here. People aren't exactly acting the way that they normally act. And then you start probing, start getting, you know, start digging into things. And then people, you know, ultimately start, you know, disappearing and dying, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said, I didn't hate the movie. I like the movie, but it's not a, you know, I'm going to run out and tell everybody you must go see this, because, you know, to me it's, you know, the same formula that I've seen before, if that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
I understand. And there's, I know that there's other movies out there that are like that, where you, you know, you're like, well, I know it was really popular back then, but I don't, just don't know if I, if it would live up to what it was then.
Right.
And I could see where this would happen like that. Just for one, it's kind of timed, and the special effects were actually way ahead of its time for what it was.
And that's what I think. I think had I seen it earlier, then I would have appreciated that more.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It blew me away back then, because I was only 14 when it came out.
Okay.
I think I saw it probably saw it like a year or two after it came out, like either on video or, I know I didn't see it at the movie theater. So I probably saw it somewhere in, you know, 83, 84. But I was still like, you know, into the whole science fiction, and, you know, Star Wars had kind of come and gone, you know, it's all, well, Star Wars and then the second one, Empire Strikes Back, was still kind of fresh, but, you know, I had the love for the sci-fi and then the added part of the horror. And this was pretty gory for its time too.
There was a lot of
blood.
It was
like one of the scenes that stands out for me, which is it's just really disturbing, is when I believe it's Wilford Brimley is the alien at this point. And he grabs some guy by the face and just pushes his fingers underneath the skin of his face.
Yeah.
And the guy, and then he just kind of drags him down the hallway by the skin of his face, like it's all stretched out. And it was just very, I was like, wow, man, that is radical. So,
yeah, that was that scene did strike me.
That was disturbing. Yeah. You know, like how they came up with that idea as a way to, you know, take somebody out was pretty radical.
You got to wonder how that's working there. I mean, they're probably in pre-production of the movie, and, you know, is it John Carpenter that's, you know, is sitting at the table and goes, you know what? I don't, you know, we can do all these other scenes like you guys want, but I need a scene where somebody's dragging somebody by their face. I'd love to know how the conversation had gone, you know.
You want to be a fly on that wall, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Sitting at that round table going, wow, you guys are really kind of fucked in the head. Yeah,
exactly. Who thinks of that?
Okay, and I'm going to say my favorite line. Can I jump to that?
Yeah.
And that is when before Palmer gets tested. This is the scene where, and I can't remember which character it is. I think it might be Peter Maloney, maybe. He's on the table and they go to put the paddles on his chest. You know?
Yeah.
They're going to bring it. He's like, he had a heart attack or something.
Okay.
He's the alien at this point.
Right.
And they go to put the paddles through on his chest, and it goes through his chest, and the guy and the chest closes like teeth and cuts the other guy's arms off.
Right.
And so McCready, or Kurt Russell, lights the table on fire, right?
Right.
And the dude's head, it's screaming this horrendous scream, and it falls, it slowly drips off the back end of the table, right? And it falls onto the ground, and then legs pop out of it, and like eight legs, like a spider, and it kind of you know, kind of runs across the floor, and it runs past Palmer, and everybody's just kind of quiet at this point. And Palmer turns his head, and he watches it go past him. He goes, "You gotta be fucking kidding me." It's a classic line, man. It was great.
Did McReady say that?
No, it wasn't McReady. It was Palmer that said it.
Okay.
This is before, No, McReady had lit him up
with the fire,
with the torch, with the flamethrower.
Right.
And that's when the head fell off the ground. And it just kind of, they were all kind of silent at that point when it just kind of skidded across the ground and ran under a desk. And he just says, "You got to be fucking kidding me." It's classic, man. I love it. Yeah. As you can tell, I haven't even seen the movie in probably, 15, 18 years maybe.
Wow.
I still can recall these scenes, that were just impactful for me at the time. I guess probably because of my age, you know?
Right.
Like even the opening scene when the dog turns into the alien in the early, you know, within the first 5 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And its head like splits open from its mouth and these tentacles are flying all over the place. It's just so, it's way out there. And that's one of the things I really like about this concept of this, or this, how they did it too, was every time it transformed or was being exposed or changing bodies, it did it in a different way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was just, I thought it was a lot of fun. Good gory fun. As a science fiction and horror fan, it's really up there for me.
Okay. You know, now I can kind of understand a little bit more as to why it was so iconic for you.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, and the effects were very gory and sick, but mm-hmm. awesome at the same time, because it was just kind of like, wow, I didn't see that happening like that, you know, over and over again.
It was unpredictable.
Yeah.
It was unpredictable. It wasn't a, you know, there's a lot of movies out there that you can always see what's going to happen kind of in the next few scenes or whatever.
Right.
But this one, they really were surprising you. And then with, like you said earlier, leaving it hanging at the end of the movie of kind of, you know, they might have killed it, but they might not have.
Right.
And it definitely had the potential. Like if it was in a populated area, a real populated area, it could have got really crazy fast.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that would have been like some sort of virus outbreak kind of a thing.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, the other thing is you start to wonder, did the McReady and I forgot who he's sitting with.
I think it was Keith David, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Keith David. He was the only other one that survived the whole thing.
And they kind of left him in this spot where you're kind of like, okay, they're dealing with the elements of Antarctica, mm-hmm. and they're just kind of sitting there.
And their camp is destroyed.
Yeah, the camp is destroyed, and it's like, did they really make it out of that?
No, I think
probably
they
not.
See, that kind of leaves it. I'm surprised they didn't do it a follow up, like part two.
Right.
Because you could have had them frozen to death.
Right.
You know, and then whoever was tracking this camp from mainland, you know, doesn't hear from them for a long time, sends more people down, and it continues from there.
Right. Yeah, it very well easily could have been a series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, where, you know, another batch of people go there, and then all of a sudden, you know, after X amount of time, they lose contact.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they keep sending people down, and, or, you know, and it just keeps, you know, people keep disappearing, you know, and it's, you know, next thing you know, the thing 5, 6, 7.
They bring it back to a populated area by chance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really do like the fact that they did not do anything with it.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, often, movies, when they start doing sequels or three or four down the road, it just gets ridiculous.
Right.
And it loses the whole flavor of the suspense of it. I don't know. it just kind of takes some away from it. So leaving it the way it was, I think is a great ending for that. I'm tempted to go watch the 2011 version, but I'm afraid I'll be terribly let down.
Who's even in that?
I have no idea. I'm going to look it up right now, though. Mary Elizabeth Winston.
Just seeing if there's anybody in it that I would be like, you know, I love their acting or something, and I want to see it.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Joel Edgerton, Ulrich Thompson, Eric Christian Olsen. I know none of these names.
Mary Elizabeth sounds like
First of all, there's no MacReady.
She was Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim. Okay. That's where I knew her from.
Yeah, she looks somewhat familiar.
Okay. I just didn't recognize her her name because I knew her as Ramona.
100,000 years. This is the storyline says that the spacecraft had been there for 100,000 years.
All right. So she's a paleontologist.
Yeah. I don't know. I how many did it get? What kind of reviews did it get? 6.2 out of 10 stars.
The first user review, an uninspired prequel.
Wow. Prequel?
That's what it says.
Really? How is it a prequel? Interesting.
All right. Well, anyway, and to close this out, I did write up a blog post about the thing, my viewing of it, and I really kind of just gave everybody here on, you know, listening to the podcast a deeper storyline so you understand kind of my thinking. But really what the blog post is going to be a synopsis of that same, you know, review. But it's going to be out there. If you choose to read it, please go to BonsaiRetroClub.com, click the blog button, and that post should be there. I would love to hear your comments as to what you think, either from this review on the podcast or the review on the blog. So please do that for us. On the website, there's other stuff for you to click and interact with us, so please do that. Follow our social media stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Scott, do you have anything you want to close with?
No, I'm good. I'm glad that you finally went out and saw it. You did some homework.
Which I'm not good with.
Yeah, I was listening to a couple older episodes that we recorded because I was trying to do a little research for some possibly a best of type stuff that right. I might want to put together for the new year or the end of the year. Somebody's sending me a text. Anyway, so the
your point is I don't do homework.
For some of it, yeah. I like, did you ever listen to Metallica?
Actually, I did.
Forever, Wherever They May Roam.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm trying to remember. I remember listening to a Metallica album. I don't remember if it was that one.
The Black Album.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But and did you ever give me a review on it?
I did not give you my vibe on it, and probably too much time has come and gone since I've done that.
All right. I'll let you slide. So listen, that's good.
So that's the thing is I might do it, but I don't like follow through with like some sort of recap, you know, yeah. And it's much like when we talked about the Poseidon Adventure, you know, mm-hmm. I had watched it. I enjoyed it and I should have thrown something together, you know, that, you know, kind of give like a review like we're doing here for the thing. But it just kind of came and went, and then, like you had predicted, too much time has passed now, and it's kind of like, well, you know, okay. So it's like one of those things where if you don't execute on it shortly after you've done it, then it just kind of falls.
Yeah, that reminds me. I got to book my drone pilot test very soon. Otherwise, I'm going to forget everything and fail.
Must do it.
Yes.
Put a date on the calendar.
Yeah. And I got so much coming up in the next 3 weeks. It's crazy. I got my mom coming to town. We got Thanksgiving next weekend. My mom's coming to town the first weekend of first week of December, the 5th, and then she'll be here for about 5 days. There's that whole weekend, and then we got just all kinds of stuff going on. So it's just, it's always around the holidays. It's so hectic.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, no, I really don't have anything else to add, other than, you know, go to our website and go to iTunes and leave reviews and, you know, help us out on Patreon by going to the bottom of our website and clicking on that and helping us help support the website and the cost of the podcast and all that stuff. So that's about all I really have.
All right. Well, with that, we like to remind everybody to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye.
Party on, dudes.
Party on.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!